What does Mike Church and the Princess Bride Cecilia know that war, 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 kill, kill, kill Americans don't?
Ha ha, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia.
The Mike Church Show, a daily beacon of chivalry and peace for brides and princesses. Heard exclusively crusading here on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
My name is Jenny. I'm a sophomore, and this is for all three of you. Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America...
Not the greatest country in the world, Professor. That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA is the loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so f***ing smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey!
And with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation period, ever period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite?
Since we were talking a little Latin America, it was appropriate to play a little Barry Manilow Copacabana. Meter Church, you're the only radio show host that plays Barry Manilow. That's right. I'll play some Bee Gees in a minute, too. It's Mike Church Show here. We're on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. We are live at the Rocky Patel Lounge, Cigar Lounge. In South Philadelphia, on the corner of 10th and Tasker. Come on by and see us if you're in Philadelphia today. And we are here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, on a Thursday. Glad to have you. Our telephone number, if you'd like to be on the program, is 844-527-8723. 844-527-8723. I am joined by a cigar rep that I met last night at the Let My People Smoke event. Of the Gurkha cigar brand. Charlie Doc Watson is seated right next to me. Charlie, good to have you with us, brother.
Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated.
Now, before we get into our conversation, I want to finish up my phone call. So I'm just going to put this here and put Jaws on speaker. And Jaws, let's get back into the little conversation that we were having about Hispaniola and what's going to happen to the people that are harvesting the fine tobaccos that go into cigars, if this insanity, if this diabolical scheme actually goes into effect.
In Bonao and in Santiago, that work in other industries, and they look at the downline impact that this is going to have on their economy of the state of Santiago. It's going to be decimating for them. Not to mention the cigar growing industry around Esteli, there at the Nicaragua Honduras border.
Yeah, Doc, you want to comment on that? You got anything about the workers? I assume, being a rep, that you may have made trips down to Nicaragua and Ecuador and other cigar-growing regions. What's it like to? How dependent is the agriculture of that part of the Latin America dependent on tobacco harvesting, tobacco growing?
That's all they're about down there, guys. I mean, you know, they got some of the smaller agricultural stuff. You got your fruits and all that kind of stuff, but tobacco is their number one cash thing down there. When you go down there, these guys are so much about tobacco that when you walk down the streets in Esteli, Nicaragua, they know who you are. They treat you differently because you're treated like kings down there because you are in the tobacco industry. That is their livelihood. You're talking hundreds of thousands of jobs down there that people work in every single day of the week, hand manufacturing these things for us to enjoy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You take that away, quite frankly, they're in the crapper, man.
So, Joss, I don't know if you've ever been down there. You're a well-traveled guy, but I think that's a consideration that obviously the eggheads at the FDA never considered. And even if they did, they probably just dismissed it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been to that part of Dominican Republic. I have, you know, as I said, many friends that live there. I do a lot of business in the Dominican Republic, and the reality is that these eggheads in Washington, as you like to call them, it's the I want control, I want power, and therefore I don't care the ramifications because you're going to comply. Now, what they want to comply is they want to comply for the public health, the public good. So they want to prevent kids from getting cigars. But what in reality they're preventing is kids being lifted up from abject poverty and the destruction of economies that cascade from this one little rule. And it's going to be absolutely devastating to the economy of the Caribbean and the Americas.
Yeah, I concur, and I'm sure Doc does. Josh, thanks for the call, brother. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, my blessed brother. The point he didn't hit, though, was, I don't know, you guys came in late, so I don't know if you heard what I was doing with this. I actually read the petition here. I'll show you the Cigar Rights of America page. So this is their statement. FDA defies congressional intent, subjects premium cigars to federal regulation. I read the pertinent parts of this petition here, and I replaced cigars with candy. Now, if you replace candy with cigars, it reads the exact same. Kids are addicted to it. Kids can have health problems from it, and we should protect them because they're kids and they shouldn't be doing it. The problem is kids actually are getting diabetes from candy. Kids actually do have addiction. They have dental problems or what have you. We all know what we were told when we were little. Don't eat all that candy. It's going to rot your teeth.
Right, sir.
So we don't have the candy. The FDA is not worried about this. It's a canard that this is about health is my problem, is my point. And it's about protecting the children and providing some measure of health. Man, that's just ridiculous. What it really is about is obviously, because Congress did not intend to do this, Doc, what it's obviously about is some large entity wants to get rid of the little entities because you guys are a threat. That's how I see it. And I know you guys run in a circle. You may not be able to say that, but for me, I talk about this stuff all the time. There's not a bill that goes through this this entity that is not bought and paid for by someone. And this one is no exception. The amazing thing is that Congress actually acted appropriately. If we were to grant them an authority, and I still wouldn't grant them that authority, but they acted appropriately because they left cigars out completely.
True.
Now, what are you hearing from the guys that you call on in shops? Like we had Anthony on yesterday, and Anthony was just shaking his head, going, "This is going to devastate me." What are you hearing?
Listen, you know, every shop, anybody in the industry, every shop, every retailer, every rep on the road like us, every manufacturer, we're all nervous, man. We're nervous because it's going to completely change the face of the industry. We've had a renaissance period in cigars over the last few years. Some incredibly great blends have coming out, lots of boutique brands. You have so many choices today smoking cigars. It's like going out to a restaurant and choosing what food you want for the
day. It is.
Okay. If this comes down and stays the way it is, you're talking 75%, 80% of those guys are gone. Okay.
One of the things that we talk about here on this show, we talk about a lot of philosophy and a lot of the deep thoughts of life. And one of the things that we get into here is art and beauty. That display last night that we saw at Let My People Smoke, the marketing that you guys put into making a cigar, like yours, the one that you handed out last night, is a piece of art.
Absolutely.
It's got a beautiful, Jeremy, do you have yours? Oh, yeah. The label, just the labeling, but the one you handed out last night had the cedar on the bottom,
the ribbon, the whole nice label.
You look at that, it's like, you know, whoever does the marketing for Gurkha or for Espinosa takes the cigar as a canvas and then paints a picture of, you know, what they want the smoker or what they want the cigar enthusiast to experience, you know, all the way down to the choice of the paper, to the ink, whether it's metallic or not, to the color of the ribbon. I pointed out to the Fuente guy last night, I said, that's a double chateau, but I've never seen one with a red band. He goes, you're the only person that picked up on that. I said, well, why is it a red band? He goes, because it got a Rosado wrapper. I said, right, the only wrapper grown in the Dominican Republic. And he looked at me like, how do you know that? I read. People are passionate about this. It's just a harmless. I can't say harmless because nothing is harmless. Drinking water could be a great analogy.
I use it on my kids all the time. If you drink too much water, the most benign thing in the world, you can literally dilute your blood system to the point that it's harmful to you. So if you do things in moderation, I don't care what it is, generally you're okay.
Right. Right.
Okay. And that's a point I'm going to hit on. The average cigar smoker is doing 1 to 3 cigars per week. Per week.
Per week.
As opposed to someone who's doing cigarettes or perhaps vape. Cigarettes, 5 packs a week is probably low. Okay?
Right.
You're talking 1 to 3 cigars a week for the average cigar smoker. This isn't a lifestyle or a habit that folks are going out on their lunch break for 15 minutes in the freezing freaking cold trying to suck down their 15-minute cigar to get their nicotine fix. Guys, let me tell you, you all know it if you smoke cigars. When it's the dead of winter and you don't have a place to go smoke, you'll go weeks without smoking a cigar because it's not that you need it. It's like when you choose to have a glass of wine.
Right.
You want to sit down. You want to relax. You want to enjoy it. It is a completely different animal than those folks that are going out there getting their nicotine fix and sucking down the chemicals from cigarettes and all that sort of thing. Completely different. There's 2 ingredients in a cigar. I read this the other day, and I thought this was funny as hell. What are the FDA looking for for the recipe or ingredients of a cigar? There's 2 things, tobacco and pectin. Food grade, by the way. You can eat that stuff, okay? That's it. There may be different grades of tobacco, maybe different types of tobacco, but it's 2 things.
So the pectin goes on the wrapper.
There's the little bit of stuff they put on there to seal the wrapper.
Right, right.
Okay.
So, folks, we've had a great 2 days here at Smoke Shop, and we've now talked to a manufacturer, Eric Espinosa, and I talked to a cigar rep, Gurkha. By the way, my Islamic expert is my next guest, Andrew Bizad. That's a Gurkha cigar.
Correct.
What is a Bizad, you're going to love this. What does a Gurkha do? Can you tell the story?
the name Gurkha comes from the Gurkha Nepalese warrior, which has been from India, which has been the British Royal Guard for eons. They're sort of the special forces from that region.
Right.
They're pretty much badasses, you know.
And if they draw a sword on a Mohammedan, they've got to
use
it.
Well, there was one not too long ago, recently. He was tasked with going out and taking out a Taliban leader.
Uh-huh.
And his leader had asked him, said, "Hey, bring back DNA proof of you killing this guy if you take him out." His idea of bringing back DNA proof was the head that he took off with his trusty kukri knife, which he carries on him on every Gurkha warrior carries on them. And his leader, when he got back to base, said, "But why did you bring the head?
You could have just brought me a finger.
You didn't specify.
First time I ever saw a Gurkha cigar was back in the 90s when I first got into this, in the early 90s. And it used to come in a glass tube, and it looked like a bottle of Maker's Mark, and it had the wax seal at the top.
Our cognac-infused Grand Reserve line. Correct? Yeah. That was one of our first cigars that we came out with, and it's been a flagship for us for years.
It's still a great... I don't shop in a lot of stores that have that one, but whenever I see one, I buy one. As a matter of fact, I would have bought one from you last night if I could have had one.
All you have to do is ask, buddy.
Well, I'm asking. So, everybody, this is Charlie Doc Watson, a sales representative from Gurkha. You said you were going to come by. I want to thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely.
And what would you say to the average cigar smoker? What is your call to action? And Jose is also here with us, as Jose Galvez. I don't have my glasses on. And he works for Eric Espinoza, who was on the show yesterday. What would you say to the average smoker, like my friend Josh Will, who we just talked to? What's his course of action? What's his call to action?
Don't sit and complain and sit on your laurels, guys. There's a petition out there right now that requires 100,000 signatures on it to pass the White House by June 10th. It's been up there for what, Jose, 2 weeks now?
It's got 54,000 and change. I just saw it this
You just
morning.
Saw it? Well, that's a big jump, thank God, because yesterday it only had about 8,000, okay?
Is this the one?
That's the one.
56,450 have signed.
We're just a little over halfway there, and we've got a couple of weeks left to get this thing done. If we don't get 100,000 signatures, it's not going to pass White House muster. It's got no legs. We can't sit, you know those guys in presidential elections, et cetera, where they sit and complain about status quo, but they don't do a damn thing about it. If you love your cigars, if you love the industry, if you're passionate about it like we are, then you have to get involved. And getting involved means taking the freaking 30 seconds or a minute, whatever it takes, sign a petition, look for the email to come in your inbox to confirm you're signing this petition, and click on it. That's it, guys. And then contact your congressmen, your local guys. Go out and support your shops, support your brands that you love. Whatever you can do to get involved. That's how we fight this thing. You can't sit on your butts complaining about it and not doing anything. And we all need your help. If you like seeing us, if you like seeing us come to your shop and hanging out and doing events and passing out some samples or whatever and doing all the cool stuff that we do, you've got to support it. Because if you don't, all that goes away. Okay.
It really is a great industry. It really is. It's a working class industry. I'm sure you got some guys at the top that are making a lot of that are banking down a lot of cash. But guys like Eric, I mean, this is a working class. It's relational. You go to your cigar store, like everybody knows Anthony. Every person that walks in that door knows Anthony, they know Marie, they know Big Frankie, they know all the guys in the front of the shop, they know all, it's a little community here, and I bet the shops that you go to are little communities too.
Listen, this business, we sell cigars and you guys buy cigars, but it's about relationships, man. Everybody in this industry knows everybody else. Some of us are competitors. We're sitting here with two competitors right now. But we're buddies, okay? We look out for each other. It is a small family of an industry. And we all look out. We give each other crap. We try to get better sales than the other guy. But at the end of the day, we're all friends. You saw it last night. I let my people smoke. We're all gathered up, chit-chatting, hanging out, busting each other's chops, giving hugs. All that kind of stuff, man, because it is. It's a true family in this industry.
It's what we would call in the Catholic world, what I would call a confraternity. You guys are in a fraternity, basically.
Exactly.
You may not even think that you're in a fraternity. You don't have a secret handshake or a lapel pin or button or something.
I think Jose's got a handshake.
So, folks, we've been talking about this for 2 days, off and on. Go to cigarrights.org and go sign the petition, especially those of you that are smokers. But if you just want to tell the FDA to go pound sand, go sign the petition, cigarrights.org. It's 2 R's, cigarrights.org. Sign the petition, and I don't think you can... Even if you get the petition in their hands, it's going to take some civil disobedience, and it's actually going to take Congress to pass a resolution and say, look, we passed that act in 2009, not you. You cannot amend it on your own accord. I would just be the amount of time that went into drafting this, because this is a 7-year long process now that this has been going on here. It has to be known that the FDA has to know that they do not have this authority to do this. The Congress has told them that the congressman in the statement here told them you don't have the authority, and yet they're doing it. So we'll just keep working, keep signing petitions, keep praying. It's an honest occupation, and it's one of the things I saw a headline yesterday, and I have to get to my other guests, but I'll leave you with this, Doug. I saw a headline yesterday, one of my favorite websites. It said that the sweatshop in Sri Lanka has done more to alleviate the sweatshop in Sri Lanka that makes Beyonce's clothes has done more to alleviate poverty there than you ever will. The agriculture, the tobacco field that grows tobacco for Oliva and the big harvesters and the guys that you buy from and that Gurkha gets their tobacco from, those guys have done more to alleviate poverty in Nicaragua and Ecuador and the Dominican Republic, which, by the way, if you ever go to Dominica, I've never been, but I do know that one half of the island is Dominican, and the other half is a hellhole that they call Haiti. And there's and on one half they have agriculture that they sell and they market, and on the other side, you know, they have a dictator that they don't. So anyone that thinks that this doesn't have an impact, even if you're not a cigar smoker, I beg to differ. So I would say go to cigarrights.org and go sign a petition.
Absolutely. I mean, guys, think about it this way too. It's not just about cigars. At some point, we have to say, you know, we're all grown adults. We have rights. We have the right to pursue happiness and our liberties. You don't let the government come in and dictate to you what is good for you. I mean, to me, that smacks of socialism, and that's not what this country is about. Stand up for your rights.
Sounds good. Doc, thank you.
Mike, thank you, bro.
Yeah, man, anytime. Appreciate you coming by. Tell you what, Christopher, why don't we go ahead and take our final break and then get Andrew on. That way we can devote an entire segment to the recently elected Muslim mayor of London and what's going on with that and some other things that are happening around here. This is the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel. We are live at the Twin Smoke Shop on 10th and Tasker in Philadelphia. This is on the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.